Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Wonderful to have you with me today. It's a Friday. Love Fridays because they end the week, anticipate the weekend, bring our work to an end, let us put a bow on everything that we've been doing. It's a great time. And we have been an amazing series this week. I hope you've been able to be with us for every day of this. Derek has been teaching us about steps to revival. The first 3 days of the week, he talked to us about love as a precondition and fruit of revival. And in the last couple of days, really yesterday and then again today, he's talking to us about something, you know, really we don't hear much about. And that's the prayer of desperation, how God answers the prayer that comes out of a people who are desperate for God, who have come to the end of their own answers, and who are hungry for that glorious thing that only God can do. This has been a key to revival throughout history. So let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us on the prayer of desperation.
So we are watching two harvests ripen side by side, simultaneously. The harvest of salvation and the harvest of judgment. And in Revelation 14, maybe we should turn there. Revelation 14, the two harvests are described immediately, one after the other. Revelation 14, beginning at verse 14. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, Jesus, having on his head a golden crown. That's not a royal crown, but it's the crown worn by a victor. You know, there are two words for crown. One is the crown of royalty, a diadem. The other is the crown that was the badge of the victor in the Olympic Games. Where we today give somebody a gold medal, they gave them a laurel crown, and that's what's there. And most places in the New Testament where you read the word crown, that's it. On the other hand, it says when Jesus comes back riding on his white horse, on his head there will be many diadems, many kingly realms all under his kingship. Anyhow, let's go on. I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to whom sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. But the Greek says the harvest of the earth is dry. It has to be reaped, or else it will be lost. That's the harvest of salvation. And it is being reaped all around the earth today. In countries which 30 years ago had no time for Jesus, people are crying out for the gospel. The Soviet Union is one example. Other parts of East Asia are the same. This is the harvest hour. And let me tell you what God says about a son who sleeps in harvest. Do you know what he says? A son who sleeps in harvest causes his father shame. And dear brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God and you're asleep in the harvest hour, you're causing your father shame. Then we come to the next harvest, and this is the correct order in Israel. First of all, the grain, then the final harvest is the grapes. Verse 17, then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Notice, the harvest is not reaped until it's fully ripe. So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. This is the harvest of wickedness. You know what happens in a winepress? When the grapes are gathered, they put them in one of those stone sort of basins, and the people come and trample them under their feet to trample the juice out. And that's the picture of the wicked being thrown into the winepress of the wrath of God to be trampled underfoot. And it says the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. In my margin it says 184 miles. Now, a lot of people interpret Revelation, what would I say, symbolically. I would just like to ask you this question, and you don't have to answer me. Do you think this is symbolic blood? I don't. I think it's real blood that's being squeezed out in the winepress of the wrath of God. If you turn to Isaiah 63, you'll see a picture of the one who treads the winepress. Isaiah 63, beginning at verse 1, and the name Edom is the name for the land east of the Jordan. It also means red. And the name was originally given to Esau because he was red all over. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? And Bozrah is the word for the grape harvest. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And the answer is, I, who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? And the answer is, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. That's a picture of Jesus judging the wicked. And in Revelation 19, it says he had a garment sprinkled with blood. And then it says, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. There is going to be vengeance, brothers and sisters. God is a God of justice. His justice tarries, but it is absolutely sure and absolutely complete.
You know, I certainly hope that all of those images we see on television of starving people, of hurting people, of people who are refugees from wars, I hope that we don't become callous and fail to remember that these are people for whom Jesus died. Derek has been teaching us about how the fields are white to harvest and how worldwide people are crying out for the gospel, whether they know it or not. Let's help issue that cry of desperation for God's mighty move in the earth. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Most believers know that fasting is beneficial and can make fresh spiritual power available in times of need. But very few know why. Here's good news. Derek Prince, widely known for his deep insights on the power and practice of fasting, reveals those insights in his powerful little book, How to Fast Successfully. Inside, you'll discover the spiritual truths behind the why, when, and how of fasting. And you'll find practical instruction for releasing the power of fasting in your own life. Call now to receive your copy of How to Fast Successfully. Absolutely free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Through fasting, you'll hear God's voice more clearly, be more effective in prayer, and see breakthroughs in hard-to-overcome habits. Call now to get your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Wonderful to have you with me here on this Friday. And we're in the last of this week's teachings on steps to revival. Derek has been talking to us about the prayer of desperation. Now, it sounds like a downer and a kind of a broken, hurting thing. But you know what it is? It's the cry of God's people who have come to the end of themselves and are hungry for more of Jesus. That's what Derek is talking about. And that's one of the great keys to revival. Let's listen as Derek talks to us about the prayer of desperation.
Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. You're saying, well, why doesn't Jesus come and end all this? Why do we have to go on in this suffering and this misery and this mounting iniquity? And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to return, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is the Lord waiting for? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All whom he has chosen for himself. He will not bring final judgment till every last one has come in. And he'll wait with infinite patience. And I believe there has to be one from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. And I believe there's no more urgent task for the church than to reach the nations that have not been reached.
Yes, amen.
Because Jesus cannot come until everyone has been reached. And at least there's one member of every tribe that will stand before the throne. God the Father sees to that because it's to glorify his Son. That his sacrifice has not been in vain for any nation on earth. So God is waiting. It's his mercy that is waiting. He'll tolerate wickedness that we would think incredible that God should not intervene. It's not that he's not going to judge the wicked, but he's waiting for every last one whom he has chosen to come in. And brothers, when you've been in the ministry as long as I have, you will marvel at the way God finds the ones he's chosen. I mean, he does the most amazing things to find somebody that nobody else would ever think worth looking at. But he's chosen. God will not take the fishing net in until every last one who's been chosen by God has come in. So get a different view of wickedness. See it as God's infinite mercy and patience waiting for those whom he has chosen. And then don't be too passive. Do something to help reaching the unreached.
Yes, amen.
The motto of our ministry is to reach the unreached and teach the untaught.
Amen.
And you know what, brothers? I have no doctrinal problems with anybody who's totally committed to that. I find I'm in perfect harmony. I may have never met them before, but in 10 minutes, it's like we've known one another all our lives. And I want to say that is our purpose for living.
Amen.
Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's what God's waiting for. If anybody's delaying it, it's us. So going back to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. This is the step before the climax. The climax is the return of Messiah. This may be simultaneous. It's not easy to know exactly how it's to be interpreted. But God says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced, and will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. That's one of the most amazing statements in the Bible, because it is the Lord who is speaking. And he says, they will look on me, whom they have pierced. It's perhaps the clearest single identification of Jesus as the pierced Messiah. But no one can know who Jesus is except by revelation. And the revelation comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
And until the Holy Spirit reveals, the Jewish people will remain amazingly blind. I've spoken to many Jews, guides who've been with Christian tours. They've heard the truth. They've seen people prayed for. They've seen people healed. And their attitude is, I would love to believe it, but I can't. And that's a judgment of God, but it's about to be revoked. And I'd like to tell you that it's interesting being amongst the Jewish people today, because to use a rather unspiritual phrase, God is sneaking up on their blind side. They don't know what's happening, but the Holy Spirit is beginning to deal with them.
I love what Derek says here. So often people are asking, when's God coming back? What's he waiting for to reach the world or bring things to an end? And Derek says, if anybody's delaying, it's us. We're the ones who haven't reached to the nations yet. And I wonder if this wouldn't help us. Zechariah 12 and verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. May the Lord give us a spirit of grace and supplication so that we can pray the prayers of desperation that reach to revival from God. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
What stands between you and your God-given dreams? What hinders you from walking out God's purpose for your life? The world constantly distracts us, taking our focus off of the things of God. But no distraction is greater than God's desire to restore us to a place of peace and purpose. In his classic book, The Doorway to Restoration, Derek Prince dissipates the distractions to reveal God's wonderful doorway to a powerful, purpose-filled life. To order your copy of The Doorway to Restoration for only $9.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can walk through God's doorway to restoration. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with me here on this Friday as we come to the final portion of Derek's teaching on revival that's been so powerful. Steps to Revival, he calls it. And he's been teaching us about the prayer of desperation. I love that scripture in Zechariah 12 where it says a spirit of grace and supplication will be given to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and we will look on him whom we have pierced. Isn't that what we want? To have a spirit upon us that moves us to cry out in desperation to Jesus and then we see him. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on the prayer of desperation.
I'll tell you a story. I hope I have time. We had a very eminent engineer, a Jewish engineer, who helped us plan the construction of our house. He wasn't the architect, but he helped the architect. And after the house was virtually complete, he dropped in to see us. It was a hot day. And he said, I'm very busy. I can only stay 10 minutes. And then he said, oh, I got such a pain in my back. And Ruth said, well, my husband has something for back pain. So he got very interested. And I didn't appear the least bit excited. Well, I said, as a matter of fact, I do. But it's a little unusual, I said. I get a person to sit down in a chair, and I check their legs. And if one leg is shorter than the other, it'll grow out. And then you know God has touched you. So he said, sat down in the chair. And I held his feet, and one leg just shot out. I mean, it wasn't a question of pulling it out at all. So he stayed half an hour when he said he could only stay 10 minutes. He was back about 2 weeks later. And he said, Ruth said, well, how is your back? And he said, it's fine, but does your husband have anything for shoulders? And she said, as a matter of fact, he does. So I said, yes, what I get people to do is stand up straight, stretch out the arms out in front, and if one arm is longer than the other, the short arm grows out. And when that happens, you know God has touched you. Well, he was very willing to stand up and stretch out his arms, and then one arm was considerably shorter than the other, and it shot out. I mean, it didn't just grow gradually. And he was astonished. And it was a hot day, and he was wearing a short-sleeved shirt. And the hairs on his arm were all standing up. And he said, "What's that?" I said very nonchalantly, "It's the power of God." When he said, "You could have a line in the street outside if you do this." Later on, he said to another friend of ours, "I believe Jesus was the Messiah."
Hallelujah.
Now, bear in mind, that doesn't mean he's saved. Yeah. It's an intellectual change, not a change of heart. But it's a step on the way. And so the Holy Spirit is sneaking up on the blind side Hallelujah. Of the Jewish people. All sorts of things are happening that you can't explain. And there is a change coming.
You know, the principles that Derek is teaching about revival are so true biblically, but they're also true to what we've experienced and what we see historically. Let me just survey for a few moments some of the great revivals in American history and how they have come out of this desperation. You know, the great revival that virtually gave birth to America was the Great Awakening that happened during the American colonial period, decades before the American Revolution. And leaders like Jonathan Edwards and others, the Gilbert Tennant and others, they were men who looked around, saw the church, saw that it was not in good shape, that people had become prosperous and had moved away from God, and they began to preach fiery sermons of revival. And God granted a revival that was so transforming that some historians believe that the American Revolution would never have been won by the American colonists had there not been first that great revival led largely by George Whitefield. And then immediately following our American Revolution, many people don't know that during our American Revolution, our pastors were killed, our Christian schools were destroyed, churches were burned, or else they were used as stables or houses of prostitution. And so the institutions of faith declined, faith itself declined, and after the American Revolution, you had a time of real apostasy. And yet people began to pray up in Red River, Kentucky, and elsewhere. People began to pray and cry out to God in desperation. And a tremendous revival occurred, the capstone of which was the ministry of Charles Finney. And many people don't know that during the American Civil War, that the war was a horrible, bloody affair. More people had died in the American Civil War than almost all of our other wars together. And yet when the Southern chaplains were so frustrated by the lack of righteousness in the military camps, they came together in a prayer covenant, many of them, and began to pray and fast and cry out to God in desperation. And God granted such a revival amongst the Southern troops, and then the same experience was known in the Northern troops as well, the Union troops, that it literally changed the course of the American Civil War. This has happened time after time after time. In fact, the whole 20th century was called the century of the Holy Spirit, and that really began with one revival in one little Bible college called Bethel Bible College in Topeka, Kansas, led by a man by the name of Charles Parham, and the students were just desperate for a greater work of the Holy Spirit. So time and again throughout history, it's the desperate cry of God's people, the hunger of God's people who have run out of all other human resources and are crying out to God to change their lives, change their families, their communities, their nations. Listen, we need to do that in this generation. We certainly have come as a people leaning to our own understanding to the end of our ability to handle our own problems and solve the crises of this age. So let's cry out to God in a desperation that moves Him to grant us revival. We're going to continue next week on this theme of Steps to Revival. You don't want to miss it. And you might want to review this past week by logging on to DerekPrince.org. Well, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Doorway to Restoration, for only $9.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to ask about your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. It's our gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.